Welcome to the Donna Sebo Show. Donna is an international mental practitioner, award-winning author, counselor, speaker, teacher, and radio TV personality. Dedicated to empowering others through her mental skills, she also features authors and experts from all over the world to share their knowledge and experience with you, the listening audience. Now, let's join Donna and her guests. Here's Donna.
Hello, hello, hello. Welcome, welcome, welcome to the show. And yes, you're listening to magnificent harp music. This is Donna Sebo. Welcome to an hour of mind power. But today it's going to be, well, the first part of the show, the first part of the hour is going to be about music power. We all love music. And this lady that is joining us today, Twyla Geddens, is a woman who has such a phenomenal background with music, and we'll be playing bits and pieces of her music throughout the interview. But I really, well, we've got a special story to tell you about how I got to meet her. Twyla, welcome to the show.
Thank you very much.
Now, Twyla, at this time, you're located in Fort Lewis, Washington, and it was around the Christmas holidays that my husband and I were wandering through the Tacoma Mall, and we heard this beautiful harp music playing, and we found that you and your son were there, and you just absolutely were mesmerizing with the music that you were playing. Tell us a little bit about your background. How was it that you fell in love with this particular instrument?
Well, actually, I grew up on a ranch in northern Oklahoma, but music has always been my life, and my mother had an old upright piano, and I had never played it, but I was listening to the radio one day when I was 4 years old and heard a song I liked and went to the piano and played it, and she thought that was pretty phenomenal, so she decided my sister would start giving me lessons and I would have to learn how to read the notes. And so that began my music career, and I moved from that to the accordion, the clarinet. I played all through school, the guitar. I picked up my father's violin whenever I was in college and played in the symphony orchestra. And it was in my college years that I discovered the harp. And I thought it was so phenomenal, elegant, could be a solo instrument, and so relaxing and soothing. I decided that would be the one that I would really want to pursue.
My goodness. 4 years old, you hear a piece of music, you walk over to a piano, and you play it. No wonder your mother said, I think I have a child here that's really suited for learning how to play instruments. Now, what did your sister play? You say she was the one that taught you music in the beginning. What kind of instruments did she play?
Well, our music, our family was all music-oriented. She became a professor of university and had concerts and piano. Piano is what she pursued. My other sister also played piano. My mother played piano. And as I mentioned, my father played violin. And I picked that up, too, of course, when I was in college for a while, but I was really the only one that picked up the harp.
Well, it's amazing. Your whole family is so talented, and here you are eventually evolving into the harp. But when you think about how you started off playing at 4 on the piano. You went to the accordion, then the clarinet, which is so interesting to me that you played the clarinet. Then copied your dad, picked up the violin, the guitar. Here are all of these instruments that you evolved through. Most people I know, if they can get one down pat, they're doing good. But it really is amazing at this wonderful capacity you have for playing the instrument. Now, you're here in the state of Washington, and you have been over in Europe. How did your career begin for playing the harp? Now, your sister was a professor. She gave concerts. Was she your instrument of inspiration as far as playing publicly, or was this just something you evolved into?
Well, when I started with the accordion, I continued with the piano and picked up the organ, watching my sister, actually, just how she moved her feet and put it all together. I played this in the church after she graduated, and she did the same, and then I kind of filled in her footsteps. And when I went off to college then and discovered the harp, I pursued that, basically. That was really my forte after that, and transferred to the University of North Texas. At that time, it was called North Texas State. They have an excellent music school there, and I transferred there and graduated there, worked with Professor Charles Kleinstuber, who studied with the world-renowned harpist Carl Salzedo. And I got my harp jobs there. I played six nights a week for about 6 years in a lovely French restaurant in Dallas. And along with other special engagements, I became so busy, I bought a second harp. And I decided after about 6 or 8 years of that I told my little puppy one day, darling, we should move to Europe because we want to play in castles. That's where the harp belongs, and there's no castles in Dallas, Texas. So I got it.
No castles in Dallas. Dallas, you failed her. No castles to play in.
That's right. I said, we'll never find any here in Dallas, so we need to go where they're at. And so we're going to go tell your grandma we're going to get a one-way ticket and move to Europe. So that's what we did, and I really never looked back after that. I moved to Europe. It was in the Frankfurt area, and I struggled along for a couple of years because I soon discovered the European people were not waiting at the airport waiting for me to play in the first castle.
Now, so, let's pause here for just a minute because I want to play a piece on track 5. I believe it's Spanish Eyes. So we'll play that for a moment so people can get another taste of your magnificent playing. The harp is such a fascinating instrument to my ear. Well, actually, to my eyes as well. Your harp that I saw you playing in the Tacoma Mall was absolutely gorgeous. And I hadn't seen a harp of that particular quality of design. It's just exquisite. Since a very good friend of ours, whose name is Patty Brown, and she's a harpist. She came from a musical family as well. And her harp was just spectacular in design like yours. What is it about the harp? Harpists are really very particular about the instrument that they choose. How did you choose this harp? Was it specially made for you? What do you do to go about getting a harp?
Well, I think it, like anything, if it's going to be a part of you, it has to be an extension of the kind of person, the feelings that you have, what is important to you. And I've always loved exquisite, elegant, beautiful, ornate, something that is like a work of art, because mm-hmm. I think carved wood is an art in itself. And when I moved to Europe, I soon discovered there's so much beautiful art and carving of wood in furniture and in buildings that it was just exquisite to me. And I knew that an instrument like this that was very ornate is what really would fit into the beauty of an authentic castle. I mean, these castles are 16th, 18th centuries, and all the carving, and so the exquisite of the carving and the gold and the ornateness just fits in with the decor so perfectly.
Well, it does. And I know that from my interaction with harpists in the past, they really choose very carefully. They are willing to play just about anything, but when it comes to their own harp, that is like, as you just expressed, an extension of themselves. And there's this joy that you feel when someone sits down with the instrument. I think it's very personal. I know the people that play horns and other stringed instruments, the violin, they are often that strong with it. But I've known people that have just said, well, it doesn't make that much difference. But anyone I've met with the harp, they really have that personal resonance with the instrument. Now, let's talk about you starting up. When you started, you were playing in Dallas. You were playing six nights a week or days, and you were very, very active. People loved what you did. You decide to go to Europe. Well, this is fine. When you're in Europe, like you said, they weren't waiting for you when you got off the plane. How did you get started in Germany, because you played in castles and did all kinds of appearances? How were you able to make an inroad into that environment being an American?
Well, I'm just really grateful. God works things out in the most strange and mysterious ways sometimes. When I was still in Dallas, of all things, I learned about an accordion get-together. And Europeans are very accordion-oriented, folks music, polkas. And I went to that because I was playing the accordion. In fact, I took it to Europe with me and played down the Rhine River on the cruise ships and so on that too, and little carnival festivals and so on. But anyway, while I was still in Dallas, I went to this accordion get-together, and I met a lady there who was German, who played an accordion, and she was married to an American man. So we kind of got together and just stayed fairly in contact. But I didn't hear from her for several months. So my puppy, Heidi, and I, we're moving to Europe. So I got on that plane, and lo and behold, she was there.
Oh, my
And she said,
goodness.
What are you doing here? And I said, we're moving to Europe, but we're not sure where we're going to stay or live or eat or work or anything else. She said, well, just so happens my husband and I are moving back to Europe, and my mother lives outside of Frankfurt, and you will stay with us.
Oh, my goodness.
So I stayed there with her and her mother and her husband and her daughter, and stayed there, I guess, 2 or 3 weeks until I got my feet on the ground and met some other German people there who were English-speaking, who knew some areas where I could rent a little one-room, tiny room. That's about all the money I had at the time, to get me started. And because right before we moved there, right before we moved to Europe, when I told my mother, I spent 8 hours going to see her, surprising her, telling her we're moving. And during that time, while I was there, my house was robbed in Dallas.
Oh,
and
my.
Just ransacked, and someone had really taken their time to go through every door, drawer, and cabinet upstairs and downstairs and taken all the precious things, the pearls, the diamonds, everything. And it was pretty devastating because I'd already bought my flight ticket and I had 30 days. And I just said, well, this can be a why in my life. I can either let it destroy me or pick up the pieces and get the valuations, the pictures and the money from the insurance and go on my way. So I did that and just kept pursuing it those 30 days. And with that money that I'd gotten from the insurance company, it's what I was living on over there. So that's why I was looking for a little one-room apartment. I didn't know how long it would be before I would actually get my first job and learn how to speak the language a little bit and where am I going to stay and so on and so forth. So anyway, it was these people that helped me to find a little one-room place there. And then after getting to know them a little bit, I discovered, well, gee, there's a U.S. military base out here too. I'm going to get to know them. And so I did that made some feelers and networking there. And they convinced me that I should move to Frankfurt, where it was more well known. And there was also a military base in Frankfurt as well as Wiesbaden, about 40 miles from there. So that really started my connections. And then I from Frankfurt, I moved to Wiesbaden because I started playing in each Sunday for the Sunday brunch in a military hotel there. And the general was coming, and it was the 4th of July. So I played the celebration and sold a few of my CDs and then started checking out the touristic places of Wiesbaden and knew it was a beautiful, very rich city, and discovered the figurehead was the Wiesbaden Kurhaus. So I took my brochures and my briefcase and wore a business suit and went down there and met the director and told them, you need to have a harp in this lovely place. And then, thank God, the sales manager called me from my little one-room place I was staying at the time and told me we're having a three-day Mitsubishi convention and we'd like for you to play the harp in this lovely hall. So that started my contacts in with the German community, and then they were very kind in telling me about nearby castles, hotels, and palaces in that area. And there was one that had just been completely renovated.
Okay, Twyla, I want to stop you for just a minute, and we'll pick up from where you're talking, but I want to play track number 13, which is Moon River, on your repertoire that you've got here. Let's play that and listen to some more of your music, and you can see why she's had such an adventure and why they ask her to play in so many places. Let's listen to Moon River for a moment. Twyla, my goodness, Moon River, you're in Germany. You have been introduced to different environments. You had the chutzpah to go in.
Hello? Well, it was really a wonderful experience. I met many German people and Europeans in general. They loved it and they accepted me so well. Europeans, for the most part, really have a greater appreciation maybe of live artists than you find most places, even in Europe, in the United States. And that's why along the way, when I was able to then open up the doors of the tour of the cruise industry, was able to meet a lot of American artists on the ships. That was just another market that I was able to pursue later on, and they were very open to the idea of having a harp on ships. That wasn't very common, and so I'm so grateful to say that I was able to play on 7 world cruise ships during the 23 years that I lived there. After moving there, I then met my husband when I was working a temporary job, trying to stay alive, just as a secretary, a temporary position there with the U.S. military, and met him, and we dated several years, and he was reservist as well as DOD civilian, became mobilized, deployed a lot, and during those times, then I played on these cruise ships and in the lovely castles down the Rhine and River and the Mosel River, and we were able to continue to extend for that many years, and I am just so grateful for all the wonderful experiences. When he was gone and I wasn't playing the harp, I just took advantage of traveling to other continents, because, you know, that's where about half of the countries of the world are, is on that side of the world. And I decided, well, this may be the only chance in my life to be on this side of the world, so I better take advantage of it.
With music. I encounter young musicians that have stars in their eyes and they say, gee whiz, I want to be really famous. I want to be out there and I just want to have all of the glory. But I don't think that they realize that to make a living as a musician takes a lot of discipline. It takes a consistent willingness to be able to put yourself into new environments and new opportunities. When you were in Europe, I'm sure that once people got to know you within certain aspects, like with the cruise lines and then with the various castles that you performed in, that was something that was very positive because you were able to establish your reputation there. What would you say to a young musician that might be listening, to anyone that has a passion for being able to perform? They love music so much. They're really skilled at what they do. What advice would you give them?
Well, I would say that it has to be number one in your life to be willing to sacrifice and get out there on a limb and do everything in order to make these things happen. It was just like moving to Europe, not knowing anyone or having a house or job or car or even speak the language, just having that burning desire to do that and carry out my dream, which was to play the harp in the castles and to experience life and be able to travel and see the world, because I just felt like that I knew so many people that wish they had done something with their life and wait till it's too late, and mm-hmm. it has passed them by, and that's such a tragedy, and I just decided I will not do that. Before I get old, I am going to put every, because I had bought a house in Dallas by that time, and I had all this furniture. I mean, it was like 3,000 square foot, and I thought, you know, I'm an albatross in this white ivory tower I've created. I could die of old age in here, and I'm just not going to do that. I'm going to take everything I have, put it in storage, put this house up for rent, find someone to be the property manager, and go forward and go where my dreams are and where I really want to be, and not look back. And that's what I did. And this is the kind of commitment that a person wants something that bad has to do. Even whenever everything was stolen in my house, well, whatever was left, I thought, it's just stuff, and I'm not going to make that my God. It's not going to change my future. I'll just take whatever money I can get from it, and this is what I'll live on to carry out the dreams and to continue to do what I want to do so bad, because otherwise that passion will be lost, and I will be have a life of regret. And I'm so glad that I did that, even though I had to sacrifice, do without, and go through incredible things I haven't even mentioned. I was taken to court and everything else, and just stripped of almost everything. But, you know, God is faithful. He wanted me to do something great. I don't know what that might be yet, but I'm so grateful I've been able to experience the things that I have. And I just pray that it's just the beginning here in this beautiful Washington area, that I can reach out to help others, and that this music is so healing that it can touch the hearts and lives of many other people in many ways.
I agree. My guest today has been Twyla Edens, and she is a harpist extraordinaire. Not only is her instrument beautiful, but so is she. And I would like to invite you to check out her website. This is a woman that shared a story with you of daring, of a willingness to risk the unknown, because she has a passion, both for what she does, but for life itself. So check out her website, twylaedens.com. That's TWYLAEDDINS. .com, TwylaEdens.com. You'll find out more about her. She has come back to the United States after so many years in Europe. She's an exceptional musician. But more than that, her personal story is absolutely awesome. Twyla, it's been great having you as a guest. We're going to close out the interview playing track number 11, and I want to thank you for being my guest today, Twyla.
Thank you so much.
Are you taking too many oral pain pills and concerned about the side effects? Are you having trouble getting to sleep at night because of the pain? Well, I'm Lou Paradise. I had the same problems you have, cured my pain, eliminated pain pills and their side effects by developing Toprasin, pain relief and healing cream. Toprasin relieves pain without the side effects. It doesn't burn, it doesn't smell, and it doesn't stain. But don't take my word for it. Doctors, pharmacists, and pain specialists are using and recommending Toprasin and ending the suffering for thousands of people just like you. We know you hurt. We want to help. We are so sure that Toprasin will work for you. We offer a money-back guarantee. So if you want the pain relief without the side effects, ask for Toprasin. Toprasin is available at Duane Reade, Quick Check Pharmacies, and Wegmans. Ask for Toprasin or call 1-800-959-1007 for a store near you. That's 1-800-959-1007. Toprasin, the last pain medicine you'll ever need, and you can sleep on that.
Are you concerned about nutrition? Do you work hard to eat right, try to feed yourself and your family nutritious food? Well, you'll want to know about glyconutrients. What are they? These are sugars that are present in nature. However, we're not getting them in our food anymore. Scientific study is proving that these sugars are necessary for all cellular and immune system function. Over 20,000 studies are conducted each year on glycoforms alone. These are the sugar protein structure that line each and every cell of the body. 4 out of the last 8 Nobel Prizes in physiology have been awarded for research in the area of cellular communication and how these sugars work in the body. This is Donna Sebo. Every day I bring to you information that will empower and light up your life. I would like to invite you to visit my website, DelphiInternational.com, and find out more about these glyconutrients. That's DelphiInternational.com. Go to my website, go to the left side of the screen, tap on the button that says glyconutrients. MIT's Technology Review, February 2003, states that glycomics is one of the 10 emerging technologies that will change the world. Education is the key to advancement of understanding and making our lives better. Visit my site, DelphiInternational.com. Go to the left side of the screen and tap on the button that says glyconutrients. I know it'll make a difference for you, as it has for me.
Hi, this is Donna. Welcome back. I hope you enjoyed the music as much as I did. And having the opportunity to meet this lady, totally an unexpected experience, and to be able to have her as a guest on my show, I just think was fabulous. Life is so interesting. How you can be in a place and suddenly discover someone or something. It's really quite exciting when you are aware and you stay awake enough to pay attention. Just marvelous. Now, if you want to call in and chat with me, I would be delighted to light up your life with a little bit of intuitive insight. 888-627-6008. That's 888-627-6008 is the number to call into. By the way, I need to apologize to those of you that have tried to send emails to Donna at DelphiInternational.com. We've been having a problem with the server, and I have no clue what's going on, and we're finding out we're having to deal with service departments in the Philippines. Have you ever had an experience of dealing with someone that can't speak English very well? Well, that is an experience, and this company, I had no idea that they had that situation, so we have to grow through that one. But anyway, go ahead and send me an email if you want to DonnaSebo@comcast.net. We should have everything in order within a couple of days, but it's as the world turns in the world of technology. Give me a buzz if you want to chat, 888-627-6008. Pajama power, yes, pajama power is in. Now, what is pajama power? Well, really what it's all about is people who are telecommuters. They are working out of their home. This has been an issue that has really been tough for a lot of businesses. After all, this has been the patterning. You get up, you go to work, you go into a place. You don't operate from your home environment. Well, when the computer started becoming more and more sophisticated, dependent on the type of business you were in, telecommuting was something that needed to be done. And little by little, systems have been worked out so you know how much a person has been doing and what's going on and so forth. And this is a process because more and more people are going to be telecommuting. And let's face it, when you have tremendous volumes of traffic here in the Pacific Northwest, our traffic congestion is just as bad as downtown L.A. So, you know, or throughout California almost, it's one of those factors that has to do with population. And so many people are in outlying areas of major cities because it's more cost-effective for them. But spending 2-3 hours a day or more, I talked with someone that spends 6 hours a day commuting back and forth to work. What if telecommuting were possible? That would really be wonderful. Now, Stanford University found that people that worked from home actually outperformed the people that were in the offices doing the same tasks. Now, the research they did was conducted in cooperation with a Chinese travel agency, which I found interesting. They compared two groups of call center workers who volunteered to be a part of the study. Now, the telecommuters took more calls, worked more hours, used fewer sick days, and were not as likely to quit. So this study that was done, it was not a gigantic one, it prompted the travel company to expand its telecommuting program. But according to Slate.com, half of the employees, including some of the telecommuters in the study, declined the opportunity, preferring to work the old-fashioned way. So a lot of it has to do with mentality, but there are companies that are beginning to build, and they want to know that you have certain software at your home computer and that you will do X, Y, Z, and they're finding that this is much more cost-effective. I talked with a woman who is an executive of her own company, and she said, you know what, I am working with virtual assistants. I cannot handle everything, and these people are taking care of the virtual tasks for me. And they interact with each other. She's never even met the people, but they're doing work that she needs to have done. And it's cost-effective for her. It's cost-effective for them, and they are able to do it in pajamas. Nobody's looking at them. They don't care. And they are conscientious about this. So there is so much that is evolving and shifting. Being in the office, that is going to stay with many different areas of working environment. But for many, telecommuting is something that's going to be a very significant part of what is going to be helping a business grow. So keep that in mind. That's not unusual. Donna Sebo here. Give me a buzz if you'd like to chat. 888-627-6008 is the telephone number. If you'd like to call in, let me light up your life with a little bit of insight. LinkedIn. Are you registered on LinkedIn? I am. Do you use it? Good. I'm glad you do. I don't seem to have enough time to get to the meat of LinkedIn. But LinkedIn has more than 135 million members in 200 countries. Now, let's get a breakdown on what's happening on LinkedIn. More than 3.8 million people that are signed up are salespeople. Over 995,000 are teachers. There's 74 Elvis tribute artists. There are 368,000 plus people in the military and protective services. They do have one martini whisperer. Don't you just love the oddballs? Then they've got 4.5 million entrepreneurs. And then they've got 1 million shared interest groups, including ones for people who want to invest in cheese. Fascinating stats. The internet has really changed the lives of all of us on so many different levels. And I just am very grateful for it. Thinking about the people I was able to communicate with today via email, everything from the radio station, BBS, to dealing with people that are in different parts of the country, that in seconds I'm able to send them details and information that I promised I would do. And that is one of the reasons why people are not using mail so much, because they're finding that they are able to communicate more quickly, more rapidly, with smartphones and all kinds of doodads that are going to be coming out that are handheld. Yes, we are actually living the Star Trek generation in our own special way. Well, I wanted to share some tips with you today about being able to generate some money for yourself, just little bits of odds and ends. And if you want to check out, if you've got gold, you hear those ads on radio and television all the time, sell us your gold, sell us your gold. Well, gold jewelry is really big in demand, and you can check out all kinds of sources. There's one site called sellyourgold.com, and it has top marks from the Better Business Bureau, and a lot of other places have rated it absolutely number one. So if you want to find out what this is worth, you need to find out what the protocols are, so you don't just send something and hope that they're going to let you know what it is. You might want to really be thoughtful about where you go, because maybe you have an antique piece of jewelry that a jeweler would be happy to sell for you. But you need to get an appraisal on certain things. You need to find out what the weight is and this type of thing. Just don't turn your stuff over. Check it out. Do some research. But I've known a number of people that have taken gold and maybe had it redesigned and do a new piece of jewelry, or literally did get cash for it. And because the price of gold is so high right now, they got a fair amount there. Now, if you want to get a new smartphone, an MP3 player, a laptop, or some other electronic device, you can sell your old one and get some dollars. If you go to gazelle.com, type in a quick description, and you'll get a price quote. They want your stuff. They'll send you a postage paid envelope so you can mail them your gadget. And people are happy with the financial return they're getting. So, just a couple of tips there. Let's go to our first caller of the day. Welcome to the show, first name or initial. And where are you calling in from?
Initial A, Anchorage, Alaska.
In Anchorage. Well, I hope to be up in Alaska in May. My goodness, you still have snow on the ground?
Yes, we have more than our share. More than our share.
I can believe it. I can believe it. Okay, A, let's get down to business with you. First thing that I am looking at is a setback. It's not a big one, but it's enough to put you on, let's say, make you sit back on your heels and go, what is this trying to tell me? Well, I'll tell you what. I think that you are going to find yourself having to stand up to certain persons who think that they can dominate your environment. Keep your cool. You're going to find that if you listen carefully, the agitation that they are going to be giving you, you don't need to accept. Listen and just graciously say to them, this really doesn't have anything to do with me, so I'm not going to buy into your expected passing along of, gee, I should accept this, because it's not true. And I think you're going to stand up to one, possibly two persons that are going to have very strong opinions, and of course your mind is going to buzz, gee, wish should I have done that, but you did the right thing. You will do the right thing. And just keeping your voice level, your tone level, will enable you to see what's really going on. You have to really listen carefully. So don't let them use you as a verbal garbage can. It's totally out of place, and it's totally thoughtless on their part. And they're being very, very self-centered and selfish in a negative way. So don't buy into it. Just don't do it. Now, I'm a little bit concerned about you. I'm seeing a bit of a digestive disorder, and I'm seeing stress, and I'm looking at the stress having an effect on the digestion, and I'd like to encourage you to perhaps have a little bit of fresh ginger and tea when you're under a lot of stress. That helps settle the stomach. It's great. But be aware, you want to eat lightly when you're under a lot of stress. You've got to give yourself some downtime. And you know how we do with kids? We'll say, okay, you got to take five. Well, that's what you need to do for yourself. You need to make it okay to step away, have time for meditation. If something goes by the wayside, you don't get the vacuuming done or whatever, that's okay. I guarantee you the dust bunnies are going to keep you company for as long as they're there. You just don't need to worry about that. Really pay attention to yourself and get your rest. And you're going to really be learning something about some herbs that I think are going to be absolutely wonderful for you. So you're a learner. You're constantly going to be a student, and I want to just pat you on the back and say, good for you, go for it. But don't worry, you're going to be okay. Do you have a question for me?
I was calling about a relationship. Is this one I'm in going to work?
Well, the one you're in, I think, is an interesting challenge because the individual can't figure you out. And by the way, you don't want them to. But I think there needs to be some real, honest communication. And I would say don't try to change this person. That's the biggest mistake you could ever try to do. But really be aware of the person's character and give yourself the time to realize you're not this person's mom or their big sister, and you're not Florence Nightingale. You're not there to fix their boo-boos of life. What you want to do is to have someone in your life who is really going to be a companion and a partner. And I think that your expectation needs to be known by this individual. And then let them show you what their real colors are. And I wouldn't worry about whether it's going to work or not. I'd just take it one day at a time.
Okay.
Don't try to make it into what it isn't.
Thank you. Appreciate it.
You're very welcome.
You have a good day.
Thank you, ma'am. Hope to be up in Anchorage in May. This is Donna Siebel. We're
going to
take a quick break. Great. We're going to take a quick break, and when we come back, I'm going to share some other goodies with you, or I'll chat with you if you want. 888-627-6008.
Have you ever had a friend tell you about a product they really believed in? Hi, this is Donna Siebel. Toprosin is a homeopathic cream that is just fabulous. I use it and my friends use it for relief of painful discomfort such as aching muscles and sore feet. Odorless, non-greasy, it is a product that belongs in everyone's medicine cabinet and first aid kit. Check out www.toprosin.com. That's T-O-P-R-I-C-I-N. And find out more information. You can order Toprosin online or call 800-959-1007. That's 800-959-1007. Be sure to give them the code DS30 and you'll receive a 30% discount. Toprosin, non-toxic, safe for children too. This is a product that really works. Try it. I think you'll like it.
Do you have children between the ages of 3 to 10? Do you love children's books and collect them? Then you'll want to know about God's Kiss, the award-winning illustrated children's book that has been enjoyed by families around the world. 15 beautiful illustrations by Pacific Northwest artist Ed Gedrose accompany this lovely story about a little boy named Johnny that will capture your heart and mind in a very special way. Multicultural and non-denominational in content, it will become a family favorite that you and your children will want to read again and again. This book is available by itself through Amazon, or if you contact me, Donna Siebel, directly, you can get a personalized signed copy. There is also a talking book. You can order the talking book CD by contacting me via email, donna@delphiinternational.com, or by calling 253-582-5604. You can also visit my website, delphiinternational.com, to see more details. God's Kiss is a family classic that belongs in everyone's library. Get your copy now.
Hi, this is Donna. Welcome back. Give me a buzz if you'd like to chat. 888-627-6008. For those of you who are listening in the Seattle, Washington area, we have a fabulous event that's coming up, and it is going to be at the CenturyLink Center. It used to be Quest Convention Center. Now it's CenturyLink because CenturyLink bought out Quest. So the new name is on the convention center, and this is the Northwest Women's Show. Pacific Northwest Women's Show. I've been involved with this organization for years. I love doing this event. Ladies, it is an awesome experience. If you haven't done it, you've got to do it. March 2nd, 3rd, and 4th. Now, March 2nd, which is a Friday, they've changed their hours. They're going to be open from noon until 8 o'clock in the evening. On March 2nd, I'm going to have a forum, and I have got six people that are going to be there. We're going to hear everything from health to true stories about what I call a living treasure, an artist by the name of Renata. We're going to be hearing stories about psychic experiences, all kinds of things, wonderful, wonderful things going on. And if you want more information, you can check out my website, but just go to the northwestwomenshow.com, and you're going to find out all kinds of details. I will be having the women's forum on Friday, and then on Sunday I'm going to be talking about spirit talks, and I'm going to be doing a presentation on Sunday, and then my booth number is 407. I'll be available for many consultations the entire weekend otherwise. So I do hope you put it on your calendar, March 2nd, 3rd, and 4th. It's incredible. This weekend I'm going to be speaking at the Ascension Into Light Foundation in Seattle on Weller Street. I'll be sending out an email posting. You can check out the information. It'll be at 11 o'clock in the morning. I'm going to be talking about You Are the Magic. And it's free to anybody who comes, so check it out. And then also, I'll be at the East West Bookstore on the 25th of February, and I will be talking about Dynamic Mind. So it's going to be a real busy month for me this month, and we got things coming up in March as well. And you can always check on my website, DelphiInternational.com, my calendar, and where I'm going to be appearing and what's happening. Donna Siebel here. Give me a buzz if you'd like to chat. 888-627-6008. My guest Twyla had talked about being robbed and her whole life, all of her possessions stripped away from her, all kinds of things, and yet she dared to step up and do something that enabled her to achieve a dream. Her dream was going to Europe. Well, sometimes we have things in life that are brought to us in the way of a challenge. There was a little guy, a little poodle. His name is Bingo. He was freezing to death. He was out trying to find a safe place. He manages to find some kids. This was a young dog. He followed the children's voices, and the kids saw him and went, "Wow, look at the dog!" And the kids naturally said, "We got to help him. He's freezing to death." Well, all of the parents of the children that found this itsy-bitsy white puppy were very concerned. They called their local shelter, and shelter workers discovered this was not a young dog at all. It was so little they thought it was a puppy. No, that wasn't the case. It was a 10-year-old dog. And the dog was blind. How did he get there? Well, they didn't know. Snow was everywhere. Couldn't find any microchip on this little creature. They couldn't find a collar. There was nothing. Well, people were of the attitude, a dog this old, blind, nobody's going to want this dog. We ought to put him down. But nobody had the heart really to do it. There was something special about this dog. And they just didn't have the heart to put him down. So what to do? Well, what happened is there was a group called Young at Heart, a group that specialized in dogs. They saved him. And you know what? I'm out of time. I'm going to have to tell you the rest of this story tomorrow. Yes, we'll find out more about Bingo and what happened to him. This is Donna Siebel. We're going to enjoy a little bit of harp music. Remember, always, you're the master of your fate. You're the captain of your soul. God bless. We'll talk with you tomorrow, same time, same place, right here at BBS Radio. Bye for now.
giving you all my desire. Give my desire to you. Speaking of all those things you told me, I riddle myself.